the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. With those famous words from the book of Joshua, we welcome you to this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland is here with Jim Stanley, and you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. And so join us for the next hour. We're going to look at God's Word. We're going to talk about several, I think, very special things. And later on in the program, we'll get to your calls. We'll take your calls and your Bible questions, and we will do our best to give you a factual, biblical, applicable answer. But Jim, it is so good to have you back on, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, sir. It's good to be a part of it, and very happy that we're going to follow up on the last 2 days of ministry that we've done with our friends from Preborn. And one of the troubling story in the news today, Alex, is as we've fought all week to help save babies in the womb, and to help save moms who are thinking about abortion and using the ultrasounds to help them change their mind, and knowing that about 80% of the women who have ultrasounds do ultimately change their minds.
That's right.
There's a story out of New York today as covered by the Christian Post, and Governor Cuomo is saying that he will not sign the budget for the state of New York unless abortion is made legal for any reason until birth. Not just late, you know, not just second or third trimester, but up to the point of birth. And so I don't know why in this day and age that we continue to want to sacrifice to the, you know, the unborn to the altar of Baal, if you will. It's very troubling to me.
Well, it is. I mean, that's just barbaric. It really is. And folks, I want to say this, and we'll talk a little bit about why life is sacred in every context. Unborn life, pre-born, even elderly, people that are infirm, injured, people that, from a human perspective, look like they don't have what some call quality of life. We want to say human life is sacred in all contexts. Jim, I want to say a big word of thank you to the listeners of Exploring the Word. And folks, if you've been listening for the last couple of days, you know that we've been talking about Preborn, and for $28, you can underwrite an ultrasound that will result of 80% chance plus the saving of a human life, and the gospel will be shared. Well, on Tuesday, 240 people called in and paid $28 each for an ultrasound. That was great. We were thrilled. We were hoping and praying that we could equal that yesterday. And glory to God, and thank you, dear, dear Exploring the Word listeners, American Family Association. And Jim, I got to tell you, the people that pray for and walk with us in the American Family Association, they're just the finest Christian people anywhere. 491 was it yesterday that in an hour, 491 people said, "I'm going to help save lives." Now, let me do the math on that, folks, for you. So that was 731, I think, total in 2 days. 80% of that, that's 621 human lives saved for God's glory. And Exploring the Word listeners, you helped do that. You may never meet them till you get to heaven, but that's a pretty worthwhile thing, isn't it?
Absolutely is, Alex, and it's one of those things that when we look at it and we see how the listeners have responded, and we heard the testimonies from people yesterday, that's one of the reasons that we decided that today we wanted to hear some more testimonies. Yeah. We want to minister the gospel of peace to those that have walked through this, and let them know that there's healing, and let them know that there's restoration. You know, when you think about the fact that one in three women in churches have had an abortion, basically 30% of the ladies that you go to church with, there's a chance that they have had an abortion. That's a huge part of the congregation. And so many times they carry that as a secret. So many times they carry that with shame. And, you know, Christ, we know that part of what Christ paid for at the cross was our shame. You know, that he took that upon himself. He took that sin upon himself. And we have the hope of life everlasting through him. And he also continues to heal people today. So if you're listening today and you've never asked for forgiveness from an abortion, would you do that? Would you do that today and ask for restoration? You are carrying a burden that you no longer have to carry. You're carrying a burden that's not yours to carry because Christ paid for that sin at Calvary. Now, you may have had multiple abortions. There will be multiple babies waiting for you in heaven. And that's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's not a free pass. That's not any of those things, is it, Alex? It's something that was paid for with the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen. And you know, sin is sin. And whatever sin you've committed, whether it be abortion or any one of the things that the Word of God calls unrighteousness. And read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I mean, there is a long list of sin that will separate you from God. But the fact is, we're all born sinners. Mm-hmm. We have a sin nature. We inherit from Adam and Eve. So we're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. That's why we need a Savior. But you need to know, and Jim, maybe we ought to start the program with a time of prayer.
Amen.
Please take God at his word. And I want to say this to everyone listening. You know, God is not mad at you. God is not just up in heaven wanting to, you know, punish and drop the hammer on you. But the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to trust in Jesus. And I would urge you, take God at his word. And the Bible says that if we will call on Jesus, confess our sin, he will be faithful and just and will forgive us. And you can do that right now. Wherever you are, you can just in your heart, from your heart to God, you can say, Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and he paid for my sin on the cross, rose from the dead, and Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me, cleanse me. Lord, save me, give me a fresh start beginning right now. And if you pray that, just call on Jesus. He will hear you. He will receive you.
Amen. And you know, folks, we would encourage you to do that. And Alex, you know, so many times we hear and see folks who have tried to carry that, and they've tried to carry it on their own. But that's not, it's really not something that we have to do. And I like the fact that you said it's not just this sin. But, you know, there, as you said, there are a litany of sins discussed in the sixth chapter of Corinthians there, Second Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, I like what Paul said, and as such were some of you.
Right.
But, you know, there's that but. And so when we look at that, when we see that, we realize that we can walk with hope, that we can walk with restoration. And folks, some of you have testimonies that you've done that very thing and that you've walked through the healing power of Christ. And we heard some incredible testimonies yesterday. And we're very thankful for those. By the way, if you would like to call and help with a ultrasound, you can do that by calling 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. Alex, we had so many respondents yesterday that got an email from the folks that help us with our phones and help us with our donations, and they wanted to know what happened, that there was such an influx of
praise
calls yesterday afternoon.
It's called the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly what it was. And that's what I told them. I said, you know, we were as flabbergasted as anyone from the amount of response that we got. But we are so grateful to the folks that did respond. And be grateful if you do that today as mm-hmm. well. But mostly we want to hear from you. We want to know what the Lord's done in your life. We want to know how the Lord has used you in that life. Alex, yesterday you talked about a few years ago, you and I were at Value Voters, and the young lady who had survived an attempt at aborting her, and she had been, you know, it was a saline abortion, and yet she wound up being born, and they had left her basically on the table to die. And a nurse finally said, look, this baby's alive. You know, we've got to do something. Mm-hmm. And so, ladies, the men that have encouraged women to have abortions, you know, guys, we're as much responsible for that sin act as the lady is. We don't get a free pass on this.
That's true.
So you're basically an accessory to that, if you will. But again, God's not up there with a big stick. He's not waiting there to punish you for this. In fact, he sent his son who died on a big stick. It was called a cross.
Mm.
And on that cross, he bore our sin. He bore our shame. But more than that, he paid for our forgiveness. He paid for our healing. He paid for our life everlasting. And so, Alex, when we think about those things, there really is hope in Christ, isn't there?
Well, there really is. I want to give a verse to you all. Psalm 62:1, and how we do love the Word of God, because it is our source for truth. And I want to encourage you to let the Word of God instruct you, comfort you, guide you. But Psalm 62:1 says, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." If you're walking around today and you've got a heavy, heavy burden and guilt over something in your past, and that, look, we're all sinners, true. But here's the thing. Beginning right now today, you can find not only forgiveness, but you can begin to find rest in God. Don't you want that light
Amen.
Heart? And wouldn't you love if you could get a clean sheet of paper and a clean slate beginning today? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Friend, you can have that with Jesus. "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." Psalm 62:1. And we often say it, Jim, Bert and I will say this, and I really mean it, folks. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And if you call on Him, He will hear you. And I do want to say this. I know we're coming up on a break.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just very moved, almost just tearful yesterday when I heard 491 people in an hour. And I want to say thank you, Exploring the Word listeners. I meet many of you in churches all over America. I see people in airports and they say, "Hey, Alex and Bert, we listen to the show." We don't very often open up these microphones with an ask for
right.
something. We try to be very judicious. But human life is worth it. And you guys more than rose to the occasion. And I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely. And that number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Or, of course, you can make a donation online at AFR.net. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. We are coming up on a break. But right after that, we're going to open up the phone lines, and we want to hear your testimonies. We want to hear what the Lord's done in your life. We want to hear how He has brought you through the time of that suffering, the time of that shame, and what you're doing for the Lord today. Would you share that with us? Would you be courageous enough? Because let me tell you, if you'll call and share your story, you might help someone else find the strength and encouragement to share their story, but also to seek that forgiveness, to confess that sin before the Lord and walk in newness of life. Will you do that for us? And that number to call is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We're going to open up the phone lines and we're going to let the Lord minister through you today as He did yesterday here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I was recently asked, "Do I think things are better or worse?" My answer, both. But that's not intended to be a cute answer, but an accurate one. In so many ways, the church in America is in trouble. Stagnant church growth, abysmal discipleship, poor prayer life, confused leadership, a blending in with our culture rather than a prophetic stand, and the list goes on. Yet to paraphrase Dickens, it's the worst of times, it is the best of times. It's becoming the best of times because I'm seeing a growing awareness of our desperate situation. Out of that awareness is coming a realization that the critical need of our day is for revival. Revival never comes to a self-satisfied people. It never comes to a people who think that they can fix things with another new program or strategy. Revival only comes to those who are at the end of themselves and convinced that only God can bring what is necessary for the healing of the land. It's revival. My name is Dave Butts with OneCry.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says the more devoted we are to God's agenda, the more of His plans and purposes He reveals to us. So how is that devotion measured? We'll find out as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It can't only be about you. We do not exist only for ourselves. We exist to make a difference, an impact. You know, bowlers are known for their impact. I don't care how good looking bowler you are. You know, because there's a bowler, you know, today, you know, you bowl fancy today. When I was growing up, it wasn't fancy bowling. Today it's fancy bowling. They got bowling pants, bowling shirts, bowling gloves, you know, bowling socks. You know, they got, and then the fancy bowling bags and fancier bowling balls. And then there's the bowling style. No matter how good you look as a bowler, if the pins are still standing, you have failed. Because a bowler is measured by his impact. No matter how Christian-y you look, how churchified you act, if there is no impact for the kingdom of God for your life, you are a failed representative. I am a failed representative of the kingdom of God. And until God sees that He can use you to knock down some pins, why would He share His purpose with you for you to dismiss it?
God's got a plan and a mission for every believer. Learn to find yours with the help of Dr. Evans' book, Pathways, From Providence to Purpose. Request it online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. As we have been talking about abortion this week and some of the pitfalls therein, and also the healing power that's found the other side of that through Christ. And Brent and I were talking earlier, and we had picked out a couple of songs for today. And then as I was headed back this way, just before the program, I thought about a different song. And so it was that song there from Zach Williams, and it's called Chain Breaker. And Alex, that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of Savior we have, because when we look at it in that vein, that's what He came to do, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, God does what we humanly think can't be done. I mean, think about salvation itself. How could the righteousness of God be satisfied, the wrath of God be demonstrated, but yet the mercy of God be poured out in Jesus? You know, God dots every I, crosses every T. And listen, friend, you might be thinking that you're in the midst of something that is just unfixable. And it could be work or family issues or some, you know, decision that you've made that's gotten you in a tough spot, or, you know, relationship, whatever. Maybe you think that you're so far gone, God doesn't love you anymore. Listen, He does love you. And Jim, I was on the road preaching, and somebody said that they were saying, God, show yourself to me. God, reveal yourself. And I heard your show, and, you know, maybe it was an answered prayer. And I said, yeah. And this show, we give God the glory. We want to focus people on Jesus. This is not about us at all.
Right.
But maybe you hearing this plea right now, that if you would open your heart to Christ and turn to the Lord, and He's going to begin today, the path of restoration begins today. And maybe God's using this show to remind you that, yes, Jesus loves you and God is not done with you. Jim, I'm going to say one thing and I want to throw to you. And folks, if you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840. Everybody listening, 300 million people in America right now, I want to say this: God is not finished with you. The Lord has things for you, but you've got to turn your life over to Him. You've got to give the steering wheel of your life to Jesus Christ, and then you'll begin to see change.
Amen. You sure will. And, you know, again, we don't take credit for that. That's what Christ does. We give glory to Him. Anything that we do here that He chooses to use, you know, and Alex, you know, you've heard me say this many times, and I usually say it if I'm going to guest speak somewhere. You know, I ask the folks not to have their anticipation set too high, because, you know, the good Lord used a donkey to get His message across. And so if He can use me to get a message across, to give somebody hope, man, that's all Him. That's all the Lord. Very little that you and I had to do with that. And
that's
so
right.
We do give God the glory. We praise Him for what He did yesterday and what He's doing today. And so we're going to go down that road. Now, again, today we were talking about some of the things about abortion and post-abortion and things like that. And so we're going to talk to Kim calling from Virginia. Kim, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Kim calling from Virginia.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a question, if you guys don't mind. So basically, I personally do not support abortion. I don't believe in it. And I feel like, you know, when a child is born, it's supposed to bring joy and life into a family. But in a situation whereby a person gets raped and gets pregnant from that rape, are they supposed to keep the baby?
Well, Claire, that's a hard question for me as a man to answer, because I'm obviously not in that situation. But Alex, we do believe in life, and we believe that although that conception, the mother may think that was a mistake because it came from rape, we know that God's still able to use that child, and even use the child to help restore the mother, you know, and restore the tragedy that she walked through, because there's no mistake in a conception of life, is there?
No. And, you know, and we acknowledge, for one thing, Jim's right, you know, we're males talking about this. And I realize some people would say, well, you know, you're a man. It's easy for you to pontificate from some moral high horse as a man. But what I'm about to share, there are plenty of female scholars and ethicists and just general people that, you know, would concur with what I'm about to say. Life is sacred, and life is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are, you know, sometimes people talk about illegitimate children, illegitimacy, there are no illegitimate children, there are some illegitimate parents. And in the case of rape, and I want to talk about health issues too, punish the guilty, not the innocent. That little child is innocent. It's the sexual aggressor, the rapist, that's guilty. So punish the guilty, not the innocent. And really, the abortion would only compound the pain. Very often, and I've heard testimonies, and I've had women come up at our conferences and explain, you know, some tragic thing. And we don't minimize the pain, and that's, you know, it's a very, very terrible thing if rape happens. But here's the thing. I've had women say that child was part of the therapy that healed me. And so regardless, though, the thing is that life is sacred. And we have to, if we're going to be consistent not only with the Word of God, but with the founding principles that gave us America and the Constitution, we have to, as Dr. King said, our founding fathers, you know, we have to have an ethic of life. And life, it doesn't in any way diminish or ameliorate the wrongness of the rape by terminating a human life. The other thing I would say, people ask about the life of the mother. And, you know, medically, they are those cases, but it's infinitesimally small. Jim, I was prepping for a speech I did at a medical school about 2.5 months ago, and I was looking for the literature for where it would document how the mother's life would the only way to save the mother's life would be to terminate a pregnancy. And that is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly rare. And so I really don't think that those rape, incest, and the life of the mother, we hear that so much from the pro-abortion left, but those cases really don't negate our obligation to stand for life.
Right. Well, Kim, I hope that helps answer your question some, and we appreciate your call this afternoon. And folks, again, as Alex mentioned, as I mentioned, we're just guys. And, you know, Alex has a doctorate in theology. He's one of the smartest men I know, and I appreciate him. But when you ask us questions like that, understand sometimes we know that we've talked to people, we know that we've counseled people, but we have not walked in those shoes. So as we're doing this today and we're hearing the testimonies of recovery from abortion, remember that, and that we don't want to make light or seem cruel to anyone. Well, I want to give you a quick update if I can. And by the way, the number to call for your testimony is 888-589-8840. And again, that's testimonies of women who have walked through abortion and have been restored by Christ. We want to hear from those. And, you know, maybe someone's still struggling, wanting to know what they have to do to, you know, to find that peace, to find Christ. Well, if you need help with that, we'll take that phone call too, because it would be our privilege to walk you back into the presence of the Lord. I can promise you that. So those numbers are 888-589-8840. Well, while we were answering Kim's question a moment ago, we had Randy, who is our call screener, came in to write down the number to call preborn to make your donation. And that's 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. And we haven't given that number out as much today as we did yesterday, because we really did want today to be more of a time of ministry. But Alex, I have to tell you right now that we are knocking on the door of 2,500 ultrasounds underwritten, not just by the listeners of Exploring the Word, but by the listeners of American Family Radio. And what that means is, just like you did the math a moment ago, we hit over 2,000 last night, which was our goal, was 2,000 ultrasounds. And so then I challenged our staff, let's see if we can get to 2,500 ultrasounds, because if we do that, that means 2,000 babies will have been saved. And so right now we're on the precipice of 2,000 babies being saved, not just ultrasounds.
Praise God.
Yeah, exactly. Praise the Lord. And so, folks,
praise God.
If you want to help with that, we would encourage you to at 877-616-2396. Let's talk to Claire calling from Louisiana. Claire, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. I'm so glad to call in. I have a testimony. I also had an abortion, and I was middle-aged. I had four children and became separated from my husband. I knew it was wrong, but at that point, I didn't know Jesus, and that's what makes all the difference, is seeing what sin really is. Because, you know, like we know, the Ten Commandments didn't have power. It told us where we were wrong. But when you receive Jesus is when you really see it. And I was tormented for quite a while. Even after I became born again later, I knew I was forgiven, but things just, I guess it was, I really feel it was demonic. I would have dreams of someone taking my baby surgically from me, and I could feel the pain in my sleep of having a baby, and I was just crying out, this is mine, this is my baby, but they wouldn't give the baby back to me. I would be walking around in the department store and hear a baby crying, and I just had to find that baby. I would go all over that store to find that crying baby, because I just had to minister to this crying baby. And until one day, you know, a pastor talked to me, and I'm sure he prayed for me too, and that's when it all went away, and I really forgave myself, I guess, also. But it's just, you know, Jesus makes all the difference. And to go 180 degrees around this, I'm a caregiver, and I was called by a health agency that I had signed up with. They called me to sit with babies who were protected by the state from their parents, and they were in the hospital, you know, when they called me in. And I gladly took it, and I would pray, and I would sit there and pray. And then it wasn't until I was well into this ministry that I realized, Claire, you have come full fold. Yeah. He is using you in an area where you were committing murder before is what it was, and I didn't realize it, you know, well, at the time. And
God bless you.
Claire, thank you so much for your testimony. That's incredible. And to have come full circle now in ministering to babies that aren't able to be with their parents, that's huge, and we appreciate that. We're going to talk to Cheryl now, calling from North Carolina. Cheryl, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, hello. I pulled over.
Oh, good.
I was driving. How are you?
Doing well.
Great.
I just wanted to say, since I have the opportunity, I've had more than one abortion. It's been a long, long time ago now, but it seems like, you know, just yesterday, because you don't forget. But, you know, Jesus has restored the years the locusts have eaten, and he's just been so good to me. And there's also a book by Jack Hayford, I'll Hold You in Heaven, that is really a blessing. And when I get a chance, I pass it on to someone that's, you know, had a miscarriage or something. But and I've had chance to witness to some other ladies, too, that, you know, that have been down the same road I have. But that I just wanted to tell you that. It's something that you never forget. It's with you every day that you live. But I just keep looking at what Jesus promised, you know.
God bless you. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, let me ask you this. If you could say a word to a young person, or if you could go back and what you know and believe now, say to your younger self, what would that be? If some college student or somebody was thinking, well, you know, this is the answer, what would the you now say to the you back then?
Well, they didn't have ultrasounds then like they do now, which would really help, I think. But go to your parents. I didn't go to my parents. I was afraid. And we were a Christian family, but very authoritative. And I was afraid of what they would think, what the church would think. You know, I was a church girl. And but just, you know, just pray.
Don't walk this road alone, right?
Sure.
Don't process this alone. You know, there's a open up and talk to people. Like, I like that. Go to your family. What else were you going to say?
Oh, I just you know, try to ask God for strength, because you don't know what it's like to have a child until you have one. But there is nothing in the world like it. You know, and if I get a chance, I tell ladies that too. You know that. You'll never regret having a child. You'll never will. And there's plenty of people out there willing to love it. And, you know, I found out by hindsight that my family would have been, they wouldn't have liked it. They would have been angry maybe, but they would have been okay, you know?
Sure.
Cheryl, thank you so much. Alex, we're coming up on the break. And Cheryl, thank you for that testimony. Alex, thank you for the follow-up question there. That was very timely. And it is important that, yeah. And when we come back from that, I want to, on the flip side, I want to talk about one of the lies that Satan uses on that. Stick around. Exploring the Word continues here on AFR.
So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Jill Abramson, the former executive editor of the New York Times, argues in a new book that her former employer abandoned journalistic objectivity concerning the Trump White House and cashed in along the way. She explained the Times' readers are largely liberal, and the paper became unmistakably anti-Trump for profit. With a barrage of negative Trump stories, the Times drove huge traffic to its publication, and despite the blip of cancellations following the 2016 election, it enjoyed inflated subscription orders to levels no one anticipated. It was never about the news. It was about regressivism and money.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You say, well, I know people who follow the Lord who aren't blessed. This is not the prosperity gospel. Hear me carefully. God is not saying He wants you to be rich. God is saying He wants to bless you so you can be the vehicle of blessing to others.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Powerful Principles from Proverbs, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
In 1741, David Brainerd was expelled from Yale for disrespecting a faculty member. Purportedly, Brainerd was uninspired by a college tutor and commented, "He has no more grace than a chair."
With his ministerial plans sidetracked, Brainerd would go on to become a passionate missionary to Native Americans in the Middle Colonies. He also had a role in the founding of Princeton and Dartmouth.
Brainerd wrote that as a young man, he read the Bible more than twice through in less than a year, gave great attention to the word preached, and endeavored to my utmost to retain it.
Years later, Yale would recognize the impact of the student they had once expelled, naming Brainerd Hall after the 18th century preacher and missionary.
Engage with the Bible and its impact across history.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
That's Christy Knuckles here on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland. It's my privilege to sit in for Brother Bert Harper today. He is headed north for a revival, I think. We like to call those evangelistic meetings because we don't want to tell the Holy Spirit when to show up. It's our prayer that you could have revival at any given time in any given place. Amen. And that's one of the things that our country needs. Well, what I wanted to touch base on real quick was one of the things that our caller said is that she was scared of what her parents would think. She was scared of what the church would think. But here's the thing. Doesn't matter about any of that. And I know that's hard, especially for a young teenager, especially for a young person who may have an authoritative family. But the thing is, what matters is, you know, find a pastor's wife and talk to them and see if you can't get some help. Like Alex said, don't try to walk this alone and don't make it about losing the baby. Make it about keeping the baby and helping that baby live. Speaking of which, we've talked about Mission Preborn this week and the ultrasounds that they provide across the country. And if you'd like to participate in that, you can give them a call at 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. Alex, you had a thought about adoption, and right after that, we're going to talk to Will calling in Texas. So Will, hang out for us another moment, and then we'll get to Marie and a couple of others as well. So you folks stay on the line. But Alex, adoption is a good alternative.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, it's been well documented that part of the way that the early church turned the Roman Empire upside down. I mean, think about it. After Pentecost, the church was persecuted. There were, Roman, Greek, and even Jewish political forces opposing the church. How did the church prevail? Well, part of it, you know, obviously because the gospel is true and lives were changed, but part of the way, and this is well documented, that the Church of Jesus Christ overturned the Roman Empire was their ethic of life and their ethic of family. They adopted babies that were abandoned. They cared for the elderly. They had this ethic of life. And this can work again. Well, listen to this. Right now, it's estimated that there are 2 million couples, 2 million couples waiting to adopt in America right now. And that there are as many as 36 couples waiting for every one child that's available to be adopted. Mm-hmm. And so when we say, please, if there's an unexpected pregnancy, don't abort. Carry that baby to term. And if you can't keep the baby, put the baby up for adoption. Because listen, I mean, there's, you know, 2 million couples right now wanting to adopt if there were a child they could. And so it's right on so many levels, Jim. It's biblical. It's godly. It has in the past changed cultures. And I would say Christian families, we have every right to champion family and champion life, and God will use that to help save our nation.
Amen. Let's talk to Will. Will's a youth pastor in Texas. Will, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. Alex, thank you for that thing about adoption. My wife and I would love to have adopted years ago. I now serve as a pastor, but a long time ago, I still work with teenagers, but back when I was a youth pastor, I knew a young lady. She was a high school student. She went to college and went off to the mission field as a single missionary, a single woman missionary, and she was raped. She came back home. I talked to her mom not long ago about the fact that I tell this story quite often. She said, to be honest with you, I asked my daughter to get an abortion, and she says, no, Mom, I can't do that. Mm. Her daughter, beautiful young lady, 2 years ago graduated as valedictorian of her high school, and is now in her second year of college.
Amen.
Serving the Lord.
Well, that's amen. Will, we appreciate that. And you were about to say something else, and I cut you off. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I want folks to know out there that the choice is right. I agree with you guys. I'm a man. I can't understand that completely. But I know the child is not at fault. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for this program today.
All right. Thank you, Will. We appreciate your call. And that is one of the things there, you know, Alex, that you and I have talked about before, is that we don't know the circumstances. We said this yesterday. We don't know what the life circumstances of the woman who feels like she's forced to make that choice, or who may not realize how valuable life is because of the culture that we live in and how it is dominated by death. I mean, now we're looking at the elderly and euthanasia and assisted suicide and things like that. And so our country has come to a point where it almost values death more than it values life, and we have to be careful of that, don't we?
Well, we really do. You know, there was an article. It's funny we would be talking about this, Jim, because today there's an article in the news about among many demographics of America, not the least of which are Caucasians, the birth rates are so low that we're not maintaining what sociologists would call replacement rate. And Japan is like this. Now, let me say this, folks. Listen carefully. There's two ways to look at family and children, pragmatism or altruism. I've written about this rather extensively. Pragmatism says, well, crunch the numbers. You know, it's not a good, and, you know, why encumber oneself with the burden of family? I'd rather go to Hawaii or get Botox. That's pragmatism, mm-hmm. selfishness. Or you could say altruism. Children are a heritage from the Lord. It's right to help and adopt. It's the right thing. And let me just say this, folks, and then I know we've got a call waiting. Study after study, besides Christian truth, I'm talking Harvard sociology studies. Look, if you want to be happy, if you want to be fulfilled, if emotionally stable and probably financially secure, if you want all those things that the human heart longs for, then prioritize family. I mean, really, we tell ourselves the bling of life will do it for us. If I had the right car, the right job, I want to travel, I want to buy stuff. No, that thing your heart is longing for, it's called home and family.
Amen.
And I know we've got a call. I think we've got Marie waiting. Marie, thanks for holding, and welcome to American Family Radio Network and Exploring the Word.
Hi, Marie.
Yes, you're on. Marie?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Okay. I just want to say, I had an abortion 30 years ago. And I can't forgive myself. I know that God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself.
Marie, can I ask, and this... This doesn't mean to, I don't mean it as dumb as it's going to sound, but if you know God's forgiven you, what keeps you from forgiving yourself?
I don't know. I mean, the guilt has never gone away. And I would say to anybody considering it, please don't do it, because it will just stay with you forever. You'll never forget it. And I just can't let it go. I can't forgive myself.
Alex, I want you to pray for Marie in just a moment. But Marie, I want to encourage you that you remember that in Christ, you're a brand new creation. And Paul tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I would ask you to take that verse and that you would hang on to that verse. And whenever Satan tries to beat you up with this, you remind him that you're no longer condemned because you've been set free by the power of Christ. Alex, would you pray? Would you pray for us?
I will. And Marie, take God at His word. You know, you might bring up things, and it's almost like the Lord would be saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. Those sins are washed away in the depths of the sea." Think about the Apostle Paul. You know, in Acts chapter 8. Saul was calling for Stephen to be executed, and the Apostle Paul said, you know, I am what I am by the grace of God, and he was complicit in the death of many Christians, the persecution of the church, and rest in Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. Your sins are forgiven. You will meet that child in heaven one day, but we will pray for you to find that peace. It's yours. It's there. The peace and the absolute joy of the Lord is yours. And I pray the Spirit of God will help you live in that and believe what is current and true, not what is past and forgiven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the Holy Spirit of God right this minute, the God of all comfort, to minister to Marie. And Lord, thank you that she is a new creature in Christ. But our emotions, you know, our emotions, it takes a while for them to catch up. And I know in her mind she knows the truth that right this minute, currently, she stands righteous in Christ. But Lord, I do pray in the name of Jesus that beginning today, this day, she will walk in the reality and the joy that it's forgiven, it's past, and you've washed her clean. And Lord, I just pray beginning right now that she will begin to forgive herself. You don't hold any charge against her. So really, she doesn't have any place to hold a charge even against herself. And to everyone listening, Lord, I ask that we would be, we who have been forgiven would be quick to forgive, even if it's meaning ourselves or those around us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that we have in Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Marie, we'll continue to pray for you and ask that you will be restored and that you will be able to come to the point you can forgive yourself. Nadine, we're going to talk to you calling from Texas, and then we're going to try and work in one more call after that. But Nadine, thank you for calling us this afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for talking with me.
glad to do it.
So I was just saying that, and I want to, you know, say something to the lady that called before that, you know, it's just wonderful that, you know, when you finally do find a place in your heart to forgive yourself and you know God's forgiven you. But I also understand, too, that, you know, I've forgiven myself and then relive that same horror and terror of what I've done. And then I stop forgiving myself again. So it's like it's a vicious cycle. And I would say that I hope and I pray that, that women who are faced with a difficulty of, you know, to have the abortion or to give it up for adoption, just, you know, talk to a godly person, somebody who will steer you in the right direction, who will, you know, really walk with you, or, you know, find somebody that can, because when you're going through that and you're in the throes of the darkness and you're in the throes of the emotions and your mind is just constantly reeling, what's right, what's wrong, what should I do, what shouldn't I do, wouldn't it be better to send the child back home with the Lord where it's going to be safe? You know, the thought of giving the child up for an adoption, you start thinking, because there's so much darkness, that, well, what if the child is not given to a nice, loving home like you would hope for the child? And so your mind is just so torn, worried that, well, now I'm going to have to live with myself. Did I give the child to a home that's loving, or did I give them to, you know, someone with evil intent?
Well, it's just Nadine, I understand that. Yeah, well, let me say, I don't fully understand, but I can see how that would be a tough struggle. But here's the thing. Don't buy the lies of the devil making you worry about that, because by and large, the screening that people have to go through to adopt a child, it's so staggering, and that I would say 9.9 times the child winds up in a good home, and giving them the opportunity for life, even if they should grow up in a bad home, that's not going to make them a bad person. Give them an opportunity for life. And so I appreciate your call. I appreciate your openness and honesty with us this afternoon. Well, Alex, we're going to talk to another Alex now, calling from Virginia. Alex, welcome to Exploring the Word.
All right. Several years ago, 20 years ago, my wife and I were told that we couldn't have another child. We had a miscarriage, and we became pregnant, and the doctor told her that she would most likely die if she carried the baby to term because of some complications with her heart. And they actually prescribed abortion medication, said, you know, we're going to give you this prescription. We want you to take it. And we refused. And 20 years later, he'll be getting married this June.
Amen.
And so we ended up having three additional sons after him. So it was just a great thing not to listen to that doctor.
God bless you. That Absolutely. Is awesome. Thank you so much for that call and for that testimony. And yeah, it's a matter of trust, isn't it, Jim? That, you know, regardless of the situation, if we trust God with it, what looks like a problem today, God will turn into a blessing tomorrow.
He sure will. And I was trying to remember the name of a young lady who is still a singer, her and her family minister. But the same thing had been told to her, that they didn't need to have another child. And she wound up with twins, and those boys are grown into young adulthood, and God's still using them. And I'll try and remember her name. Well, Alex, I believe you and I are on for tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's called Fire Away Friday, folks. We're going to take Bible questions and just all sorts of calls. Be listening, be ready. We want to hear from you. And Jim, we certainly do appreciate our listening audience, don't we?
Absolutely. And folks, if you'd still like to call, 877-616-2396 or online at afr.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.